quickly. Yes.
Okay, we'll go ahead and go live here.
Okay, it is 6:03 p.m. on Tuesday, August 8th, 2023. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
Just so you know, Jennifer Romano, our councilwoman, is on electronically, so we'll be taking voice votes again tonight. And with that, first thing up we have is the minutes from our last meeting on July 25th. Were there any changes or corrections?
I do not.
I'm sorry, I should have told you. I did send some changes or corrections over to Rosie. But besides that, anything that you have to add? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes with the noted changes?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Any other questions? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Okay, and it is unanimous. Next up is the swearing in of multiple police officers and firefighters. So let's first go to, what do you want to go first, Tim?
I'll do them all at
once. Oh, you're going to do everybody at once? Oh.
Not the firemen, the police officers.
Okay, police officers. Are we doing things separate?
I want to see that dog.
No. Okay. Do all the police officers. And Jay.
First, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. What a crowd to show the support for these guys and the Columbia City Police Department. I really appreciate that, and I can't thank you enough, and hopefully we can take care of these guys to your expectations.
I. Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
That I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a police officer and canine of the City of Columbia City.
As a police officer and canine.
City. According to the laws of the state.
According to the laws of the state.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
I'm not sure. Jennifer says congratulations as well. Okay, next up is the swearing in of Firefighter Johnson.
I also would like to thank everybody for showing up for Jacob. Kind of weird that I've known him since he was a little kid running around your guys' farm. And then there was a time lapse, and then he came to another guy swearing in, and he introduced himself, and I was just floored with the size of the beast. Whereas some of his old buddy said that if he ever knew his own strength, he'd be scary. So I welcome Jacob, and we also will make sure he's well protected. So.
I, Jacob Johnson,
swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
Of the City of Columbia City.
Of the City of Columbia City.
According to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
I remember that. Yes, I think I was supposed to sign it this way.
You guys are more than welcome to sit through the rest of the meeting, or you can do whatever you so choose to do.
Thank you all for coming out and supporting. We appreciate you being here. If you want to stay, you can. If you want to go celebrate, we welcome that too. Either way. Thank you all.
I was afraid that they were going to move on.
I was going here to celebrate. Where he is.
They're not allowed to leave.
You know, because I can tell you, those will go around with some captions.
Yeah. No, you have it. You did well.
Hey, buddy.
He's learning. Gaming big, complete.
I know.
But you want to sign these?
No picture, because I know that picture will show up.
No, all of us sign this.
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay, I'm going to switch up a little bit. I'm going to turn it over to Amy and Ed next. So come on up and look forward to your presentation.
All right, thank you. Good evening. Amy Biggs, Woodley County Emergency Management, and Ed Scott, Deputy Director for Woodley County Emergency Management. We requested to be on the schedule this evening to acknowledge two of the individuals that work for the city that we feel as though went beyond their normal responsibilities in an effort to assist our agency with managing a hazardous materials incident. They were immediately responsive to our request after the mayor's permission and stayed dedicated throughout the date of the event, which was on May 22nd. That lasted nearly 4 days, so the commitment that they put forth in assisting our agency, we wanted to be able to publicly acknowledge that and give our appreciation and thanks for that collaboration. We are a small community. We don't all have the assets capable of managing incidents, and so through the collaboration and through the equipment sharing, I wanted to specifically acknowledge Mike Shoda and Braxton Goodman for their assistance at that incident. We'd like to present them tonight with just a small token of our appreciation, which is a certificate of appreciation, as well as an engraved mug from Whitley County Emergency Management. So if you gentlemen would please do us a solid and come up and accept that for us, we would appreciate that. Thank you very much. Again,
thank you.
Through collaboration with our community as a whole, with the city, with the county. That's how we build strong relationships and strong commitment to our community. Great. So thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Next up, we have John Cannon from the Attorney General's Office. John, come on up.
Thank you all. I assume you told everybody I was coming while they all left. Thank you all. I hate to have my backside to you all, but the councilwoman on the Zoom, Jennifer, I'm sorry you're not here. Folks, I'm here from the Attorney General's Office, which is our Attorney General, is Todd Rokita, and he has put together a team that we are a part of called the Outreach Team, and we come out and tell as many people as possible what the office does and what it can do for municipalities and towns and counties, as well as leaders that are not part of the government. One of the things we can do for you all is we have an advisory division that can explain to a legislator that interprets the law for you all to implement. So if you have some difficulties implementing or if there's something that is hard to understand, your city attorney may have difficulties with, they can ask the legislator to ask us and we can give them the opinion of what that is. I like to say that I can help with that as well, but all I would do is just turn it over to the legislator because that's the process. I would be happy to do that for you. I'll get cards and such and you can get hold of me. The other thing that we do, which is very, very important, is we have $800 million in the bank of unclaimed property. It's growing every day, but we are also chipping away at it as well. We give $1 million a week back to New Jersey as long as they go to our website. Cards and things, QR codes and things for preparing for the be place for the public. But I normally would hand that out to everyone, but I did that in Hobart about 3 weeks ago at Hobart, Indiana, and the fire chief, he was looking, he scanned the QR code and the whole meeting went way up to directed to the firemen. They found $1,346. granted, they did not receive all the money for that the state was holding. So the whole meeting, my presentation when I had to talk. So I learned how not to hand that out until after I leave. But we suggest that everyone, including the city, as well as residents, check it once a week. I know it sounds kind of corny, but we add 75 items a week.
Oh, wow.
Property. There it goes from real property, which is the acreage, down to 57 cents PMV that's owed somebody to have a claim. So I'd be more than happy to help walk the Rosier or whoever chiefs through that if he needs help. Again, I'll take that phone call and help you through that, try to make that easier and more or less painful for you. The last thing that we one of the last things we do is Medicaid fraud. There's $235 million in Medicaid fraud that we recouped last year. This year we're on a record to be almost $300 million of Medicaid fraud. That Medicaid is for the needy and not for the greedy. And we're here to ask you if you know of any fraud or you know of anybody that may be frauding the system, please let us know and we can get one of our investigators. Each county has at least one investigator, and bigger counties have more, of course. You may not know who that person is because they're kind of in the on the down low a little bit on purpose. I was the mayor of the city of Portage, and we had someone right down the street that was an investigator, and I didn't know who they were. Mm. That's on purpose, so they can do their jobs without any outside influence. So please help us with that. And then another thing that we do is scam prevention. I'm going to be next week in Fort Wayne to three retirement homes and assisted living homes in community centers in Fort Wayne, letting them know about our some scam presentations, some scams that are out there for retirees as well as for all of us. One of them is the robocalls that we all get on the phone that says potential scam and such across the phone. There are 8 billion of those phone calls that come in every year into the state of Indiana from outside of Indiana, 8 billion. We've got it down now to 7 billion. Sounds like, not a lot, but when you're talking a billion phone calls that have been eliminated, that we've prosecuted and taken care of those folks that have out there scamming and frauding Hoosiers, it's a big deal. One of the big things that our Attorney General wanted to work on when he was inaugurated, he said that would be one of his goals to knock that path. So, not quite there, but maybe he plans on being in office a lot longer than he expected, maybe. But so those are the things, some of the things we can do for Hoosiers, and I'm going to leave you some material for the public as well as for you all.
Sure.
I just got some koozies in. It's crazy, but I got some koozies in for your cold beverage that I'll leave with you all as well in a bag. But we are at the State Fair this week and last week, giving out the. So far, I believe they told me that $59,000 in unclaimed property we found as people walked past the booth that we found.
Wow.
So we're moving along. Real quick story, if you don't mind, about the State Fair. The State Fair Queen last year came to the booth, and she was excited, and she came up to me, and I was there with my laptop, and she said, my dad thinks he has about $40,000 in unclaimed property. It'd be really cool if I could tell him tonight when I go home that I found it for. So we found about $37,000. And I left that night on Friday and Saturday. He came to the booth and bought everybody lunch. And, I'm glad I found it. That's okay. Things happen. But that's just an example of folks who've done some investigation on their own, and then they didn't really know what to do or how to do it. And she came over and helped out. So another thing that is that we try to do from the office is like you all do. You serve with servants' hearts. And you don't do this for the money. You do this for helping our neighbors. I was a city councilman for 8 years in the city of Portage, and mayor. I understand that there's no glory in this. There's hard work that you all do, and you're doing it for the right reasons. bless you. All day long.
Sorry.
Until midnight tomorrow, I can't help you. the mayor, I know the position you're in, one of the hardest positions in the whole country to be a small town mayor.
Thanks.
Thank you all for what you do. A small town of Fowler, Indiana, I visited in early January, and I stopped at a Dollar General to get a Dr. Pepper. You can tell it wasn't a diet Dr. Pepper. There was a lady there that had two children and a bundle of toilet paper, she was holding, and she was short $1.96. And I just told the lady, I said, go ahead, I'll take care of it. $2 for it. Let her carry on. And she, so that happened. And she was standing by the door with the two children and the bundle of toilet paper. And I went, boy, now I've got myself into something else. I'm going to have to maybe give her a ride, or I'm going to have to, which I've been happy to do. But in this world, you get a little nervous about some of those things. So I paid the bill, and I walked out. And she said, sir, I just want to stop you for a second. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I just want to let you know that every time my family uses this paper, we'll think about you. That's what's working in being a servant's heart. Is that stuff like that doesn't bother us. We just do it because we're good public servants, and we know you all are. You're not here for the glory or the $1 million check. I think the lottery does get called tonight. They're not 45 today. If anybody wins, I can hand a little bit of money from you all, but I'll share it with you as well. We are here for servant hearts as well as our Attorney General. We're doing different things in the private sector, making more money and doing different things, but we decided to do this and we want to thank you. And from the Attorney General directly, we want to thank you. So, Mayor, thank you for your time, and Council. Rosie, thanks for getting me on the agenda. And the City Attorney, you could be doing something different. You could be doing this for the right reasons. Thank you all, and congratulations to the new police officers. And now, was the dog?
Yes.
A canine?
Canine, yes.
And the poodle's the smartest dog there is. and he was yes. The kindest back there. He was the kindest, so good job on that. Let's put that together. So thank you all very much. I'll let you be, and I know you've got other things to do, but I'll leave this with information with Rosie.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
No
So next up is Ordinance 2023-12. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jenny. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Ted?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Okay, it is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-12 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-12, an ordinance of the City of Columbia City, Whitley County, Indiana, adopting the City of Columbia City Food and Beverage Tax.
As you'll remember from our last meeting, just as a overview, there was it's lined out in the ordinance, as you know, but obviously the focus of this, we did have a public hearing at the last meeting. We had both the Chamber of Commerce as well as the Columbia City Connect Downtown group that spoke in favor. It is for specific areas, but I want to specifically focus on Section 5 again, because we talked about this last time, which is that all of the dollars there that's generated from this would go specifically to Eagle Park, and it'd be specifically for the purchase of equipment or the construction of facilities. And again, the goal, obviously, is to drive and promote tourism within the city. So with that, if there's any comments or thoughts or questions that you all have. No? Okay. Well, hearing none, then. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2023-12 on second and final reading?
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further conversation? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Next up, we'll move to Ordinance 2023-14. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2023-14 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-14, an ordinance amending Chapter 73, Bicycles, Unicycles, Three-Wheeled Cycles, and Golf Carts of Title 7.
Yes.
Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
You'll remember, obviously, this is the provision that adds the rear view mirrors and side mirrors to our golf cart ordinance, and specifically that it would take effect when the individuals renew or get a new license. So it's not retroactive, but instead moving forward from the point of passage. Questions, concerns, thoughts on this matter? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2023-14 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Next up is Ordinance 2023-15. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2023-15 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-15, an ordinance amending Chapter 97, Streets and Sidewalks of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
As a reminder, this changes the process of right-of-way easements, etc., work within those areas, and specifically it does, it takes basically soft infrastructure changes through CHIP, Community Development Director, and hard infrastructure, sidewalk, curb, street, etc., through our street superintendent, who already gets that, and the Board of Works. So the soft infrastructure doesn't go through Board of Works, but everything else does. It also adds a fee structure that, again, lines us up. We're actually still less than what the county charges for this, but it does compensate for the time in which the processing and the reviewing of the site and progress and all that kind of stuff that happens. So further conversation about Ordinance 2023-15. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-15 on second and final reading?
So approved.
So moved.
Moved.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. For the discussion. Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Okay. Next up, department head reports. Callie?
Yeah, NIBLOC will be coming into town here, starting our community crossings project for paving either next week or the week after. So one of the main roads that they'll be working on, Market Street, that'll be impact traffic a little bit, along with several other ones, but that's going to be one of the major ones that they'll be working on. We helped the water department pour a sidewalk back on a catch basin that they installed back in Columbia Shores, and our guys did a good job putting that back in. And kudos to Jason Wells, he's our head concrete guy, and the guys that helped him did a great job too. Mike has another project for us before head over to his plant here coming up too. They have limb pickup today. Guys got through that, finished up today. We had like 8 loads they picked up in town. Hopefully the end of the week we'll start going around the streets and limbs that are hanging out that school buses can hit and things like that, covering up signs. We'll try to get those trimmed back so they don't cause problems. And we'll transition into the alleys after that. It'll probably be a 3-week job trying to trim all that stuff back. And then Saturday's safety fest, public safety fest up at, we'll have a plow truck up here for kids to dip their hands in paint and stick all over the plows and decorate it all up. So that'll be Saturday, 8 to 10.
Yep. Question to Kelly. Tad.
So, Kelly, I saw, did you guys have a crew out yesterday morning?
Yeah.
Doing. God bless those guys. It was pouring down rain.
Yeah.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we told them, you know, if it started raining too hard, just come back to the shop. You don't have to be out in it. But they kept grinding away.
Yeah.
So,
So I think that doesn't go unnoticed. So
I'll let them
know. So you can pass that on to them.
Thanks, Kat.
Anything else? Okay. Tom.
Well, for public safety, I think your car ought to be parked right next to that snowplow.
I'd love to have little kids' hands, you know, handprints all over my car. I think that'd be really awesome.
Last night we had a late night run. 101's engine overheated. Captain Oosley brought the engine back, took it out of service. We took it to the city mechanic today. It was just a water pump on it, so that it turned out to be really an easy fix for him, for changing a water pump on a large truck. But I give kudos to Adam. He chased one out. Well, he found out what part it was, chased one down, and got it put on today. So the quality of our mechanic is just unheard of. He's a really good mechanic, and I can't say enough about him. So just kudos to Adam. The two new guys are working out very well. Tonight we swore one of them in. The other one will be sworn in hopefully at the next meeting, which is 3 weeks from today, I think.
Yes.
So we'll hopefully his uniform is all in by then and we can get him in and get that done. We've just been really busy. Run volume has been a lot. And so serious run volume has been a lot. And so along with that comes all the equipment repairs, cleaning and repairs that goes with all of that. So it's been tasking.
Question to Tom. Tom, I just want to maybe, it may be worthwhile to reassure the public about what we've talked about the fact that there's been a couple of different fires recently, and there's kind of a little bit of a rumbling in the community that there may be some connection, and there is no evidence to show that's the case, correct?
Yeah, I am very confident, along with multiple investigators, that they are not related in any way. That is through the state investigating, our Sturgeon investigating, and private insurance companies hiring investigators, that these are not related fires. We will continue on any large fire that we can't easily identify as to help everybody feel comfortable with this, continue to call the state in to assist us in the investigation for a while, just to make sure everybody knows that these are not related fires. When you have stress on electrical systems in summertime because of air conditioners and multitude of different things, it's just been a lot of unrelated incidents that occurred. This past Friday was no different. A gentleman told us exactly what he did, and the evidence showed that what he told us was correct. So just bear with us through this. It's just been a ride.
Questions? Okay, thank you. Gary.
So Officer Anderson has completed his FTO. It's a fairly quick process because he has 10 years of experience, so that was nice. So Officer Clark is kind of in the same situation. I see his FTO turning around very quickly and getting them in the schedule. So Officer Young, he completed his pre-basic, 40-hour pre-basic that he has to go through, and has started his FTO. So his is going to be like a 3 to 4 month process, depending on how the training goes. So the process for the new hires closed Monday at 3 o'clock. We will do the physical agility written test on August 19th. We received a total of 24 applications. One withdrew already, and out of those 23 remaining, we have 2 laterals. Cops Gear has been extremely busy. They've had some issues out there out of their control, so they're a little behind on our vehicles, so they know that I'm on them trying to get those done. I've been working on trying to get together for the employees and their families for the police department and dispatch. Other than that, everything's going good with the police department. I think that we're on a springboard to good things here. Dispatch, Savannah has transitioned into her new schedule from the 7P to 3A. She'll be covering vacations, personal days, sick days, so that'll help the overtime budget. And she's said to me several times that she loves this place and loves working here. So good things are happening.
Questions of Gary? Thank you. Mike?
The guys have been doing the repairs on our IDEM inspection that they said needed to be done. I think we're maybe a third of the way done. And also they did that catch basin up in Columbia Shores, did a good job. I mean, we didn't do it as it was engineered because we thought we would save money by replacing the sidewalk instead of the street. It worked out fine the way the guys did it. Yeah, I mean, they took it on themselves to try to figure a cheaper way to do it, and it worked out.
Yep. Question of the mic. Thank you. Matt.
The concession trailer got fixed this week. I had the new window installed, and during that process, the gentleman that installed it also noticed that we have quite a vacuum on the trailer, and that's because the air conditioners are trying to get more airflow through. So he made some suggestions so we don't end up having our units burn up on the top of that. We've had quite a few issues over at the pool the last couple weeks. The lifeguards did an amazing job this week, or towards the end of last week, can't remember now.
Yeah, I think it was last week.
There's a young man that got hit in the head, needs some medical attention. They all reacted as they've been instructed to, trained to, and they had everything crowd pushed back and ready when the fire department and first responders got there to help out. So they did a really good job with that. We're just coming up to a lot of things at the pool that are just, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that old, but, you know, when it gets used constantly, 24/7, for 3 months, it just takes a wear and tear on it. So I'm going to have to start doing some things there, and we start losing our summer help as of today, so we'll start having less and less hands.
Questions of Matt? Thank you. Sean?
So we did have a wire, a underground
distribution primary wire hit by the boring company that's in town right now last week in the Columbia Shores area. We were able to get that isolated. Everybody's power back on within minutes, and then it took about 2 days to get it fully fixed and restored and back to normal operating position. But there was a wire that was installed before I started in the city. Apparently there was a bad section, and so they bored a whole new wire in and didn't put it on the map or anything, so we had no way of knowing that they had moved it over about 4 feet from where it was supposed to be on the map. So it was struck, it was fixed, luckily no one was hurt. So we've got that taken care of. Jefferson Street, there's a project over there where the overhead distribution primary wires are all backyard, but we can't access it with a truck. But we're going to get in that area. It takes care of a lot of outages, issues with squirrels and limbs and things like that. So we're going to get in that area and hopefully get all the way around to Park Terrace here in the next several months. We did advertise for our vacant lineman position. We already have a few really good applicants that found out secondhand about it, and so we're excited about that. That'll be open, I believe, to the 25th of August. So if you know anybody that's looking for a great career, we offer a great career, not just a job. So we're looking for another great fit. So I did send a letter of advisement to all the homeowners and property owners on Morse's Road up by Crystal Lake Golf Course. That golf course was purchased and split into several large lots. We're taking that opportunity with the extra easements that they've given us with these lots to do some upgrades to the entire area. We have a large percentage of our outages in the country are along that line there, because we have a lot of front lot in the middle of the property, overhead distribution lines that we have a lot of issues with trees and squirrels. So we're also working up there to get some of that buried. I've gotten some emails already, encouraging emails, welcoming the project. So that should be a really good project for that area. Just remember that, you know, we have customers all the way out to the town of that time. So sometimes some of our projects are in town, some of them are out of town. So also excited, tomorrow we are receiving our new pressure washer. It's exciting news. The one we have hasn't worked properly for about 5-6 years. So the guys are all excited. There's two. Excited too, and that's what that is. It's for washing cars, trucks, vehicles. So yeah, pretty excited to have that installed. One other thing I want to bring to your attention while I got it. You know, we talk about the cost of materials and the inflation going on right now and lead times. I did receive a quote today. I'm trying to get just a standard pad mount single phase transformer, which just feeds your house. The lead times have went from about 6 to 7 weeks to anywhere to 60 to 70 months. So I was excited that the lead times have come down a little bit on those. Projected lead time on the quotes I have today were 38 weeks, which is quite a bit better. Still not the 6 to 7 weeks we used to get. But just for comparison, back in 2019, fourth quarter of 2019, I bought this same transformer, just a standard 50 kVA pad mount transformer. 2019 was $1,317, $1,317. The quote I got today was for $3,998. That's a 302% increase in cost in just 3 years, less than 3 years.
Yep.
We raised our rates 3% this year. I mean, for the next size transformer, it's 312% increase in cost. And that's across the board with our materials right now. Yep. So,
and we're seeing that in every utility.
Exactly.
Every utility.
So just we're doing our best to be the steward, a good steward of our money and our you know, the money of our customers, for us, taxpayers for some. It's going to get to a point where we're going to have to look at doing something drastic, and I don't know what that'll be. But when you're talking 300% increase in cost in just a couple of years, it's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So just want to let everybody know what's going on.
Thanks for that happy news, Sean.
Yes.
Questions? Thank you. Terry.
Well, we had a meeting at the new park office with
SOS and Matt and his people, and that project started, and we're waiting for the fiber company to come in and get fiber into that building, and then we'll proceed with some of the equipment that's been ordered for that. Also, we're working with Mike and getting fiber into the booster station for the water department so that can be brought up on the fiber network also.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Marcia?
No,
Rosie?
No.
A couple things for your information. First is a reminder that the next council meeting will take place on the last Tuesday, not the fourth Tuesday. It's bumped back a week because we have our Cities and Towns annual conference, as you all are aware. So the actual date of our next council meeting will be the 29th of August. So take note of that. Again, 6 o'clock, like normal. Chip's not here tonight, but he did go in front of the county commissioners yesterday and received approval for a trail easement, which is really the last piece we needed to acquire to finish out the basically 90% of the planning for the Blue River Trail extension out to the high school. So for residents and others to know, that is now, we've checked off that box. We got to get the agreement officially approved, but they've preliminarily approved it, let's say it that way. We have to get DNR to approve the 90% design. So that is moving forward, and we are getting really close to hopefully bidding out that project. That scares you just as much as it scares me, based on what Sean has just said. But in any case, we are excited about that. As you are also aware, because you approved a interlocal agreement at the last meeting, we are moving forward on the 100 South sewer project in conjunction with the County Redevelopment Commission. That we have a special Board of Works meeting. Is it next week?
Yes.
Special Board of Works next week to open bids for that. So just so you're aware, that is also moving forward. We are planning to go back out for bid for Eagle Park sometime this winter, probably mid to late winter, based on what our engineers are telling us, and they think the bidding environment is going to be better in that regard. But we are also looking overall at the plan and really taking a look at, okay, what are things we can do in-house and what are ways we can cut costs without cutting out the kind of fun stuff, if you will, that people are looking forward to. We are continuing to work on the Westgate engineering. There's some slight modifications to some of the drainage pieces out there, but in general, we've already turned in the application for the actual street and curb and all that kind of stuff, construction. Let's see if there's anything else. Design for construction firm or whatever, our consulting, there we go, our consultants for the downtown plan was at First Friday and was overwhelmed by the amount of not only support but also the interaction with residents and visitors at their booth. There were some different activities that engaged individuals in that planning effort, and they literally kept looking at the staff and saying, is this like normal? Yep. This is how many people are at First Friday almost every single time, unless it's bad weather. And actually, I think they said it was down just slightly on Friday. So they were really happy about that. Public service announcement from Chip is that the Oakey Alley, Thomas Marshall Plaza, are not areas for your dogs to relieve themselves. So please use the poop bags to clean up after your dogs. Youth Council restarts again here in a couple of weeks, so we're excited about that. I'm hosting the Mayor's and Commissioner's Caucus on next Wednesday, the 16th, at the library, so appreciate the library hosting us for that. There's just a lot of things going on. One last thing I should mention is that CGI, who is the company who came in and did the videos and then also did the banners, two separate sides of the same company, but CGI is coming in to refresh those videos toward the end of this month. So if you see video cameras out and around, it is, hopefully, they are refreshing those videos to kind of continue telling the Columbia City story out to the public, to the visitors, and certainly to, you know, anybody else that would check us out, let's say it that way. So I think that's all I have at the moment. We may wrap around to something else. So Jennifer, I'm going to go to you next. Oh, hold on a second. You're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I have a couple of things. First of all, thank you to the street department for coming out to our neighborhood. Several people had trees and limbs and all kinds of things down. They were out there on Monday and again on Tuesday, so thank you for that. We really appreciate it. I know all the neighbors here definitely appreciate that getting taken care of. The second thing I wanted to mention is that the Columbia City Arts Commission's first studio tour will be happening on the 9th of September from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. At this moment, we have 10 participating artists and 8 stops, and they are all in the vicinity of Columbia City, so that's pretty exciting. We're hoping to grow on that for next year, but for this year, we are all hands on deck to get stuff together. If anyone is interested in helping out with getting the word out, with getting signs out, that sort of thing, have them contact me. We would definitely appreciate that a lot because we need to let everybody know what's going on. And the last thing, I had a meeting last week with a constituent who had some pretty good ideas about making golf carts a little safer in our community. And I'm going to try to reach out to Gary to set up a time to talk to him about that and see if some of these ideas would be feasible as far as citizens kind of watchdogging themselves for safety reasons and working together to kind of maybe do a little bit more than we're able to do entirely with ordinances and do a little bit with peer work. So,
great. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate it. Walter.
Utilities, water, Mike, Sean, electric, Columbia Shores has just been bombarded with flags. If you've been down that area lately, a lot of questions, a lot of neighbors are, you know, inquiring what's going on, who's, you know. And so I know you guys and your team have been asked a lot of questions out there, and I think they've done a great job explaining to them that this is a normal work day for me. I just got 500 locates to do, you know. But again, I just want to pass that on, is in the heat of the day, or again, people don't understand who does that flag belong to. They think everything belongs to the city, and really there are other utilities that are in the right of way. And again, I just want to commend the communications between your workers and the public.
I think that's a really good point, Walt. And just to note, I know that that especially in Columbia Shores, but there are other places across the city, they are experiencing a lot of flags in the easement or in the right of way. And again, that's Brightspeed. That's putting in fiber. We continue to give out the information of Brightspeed as a way to connect residents to those constituents. Residents to the company in and of itself. I think if there's a silver lining, it's that they're going to be overlashing where it's already aerial, meaning where they already have CenturyLink lines that are running above. They're going to be overlashing, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, overlashing there, whereas the only area they're going to really be digging is where it's not aerial, so meaning that it's underground utilities there. We don't have the electric poles or telephone poles up there. So the good news is not all the city will be impacted. The bad news is that I know, as I've told other people in the first week that they were here, they cut my surf internet, they cut my neighbor's sewer line, and they cut a gas line that caused them to have an emergency situation. And then I think they cut another gas line later. So in our neighborhood. So it is a tough road right now, and we fully recognize residents are frustrated by that, and they have every right to be. We continue to try to communicate with Brightspeed about those things. I know, you know, our guys are out there a lot putting flags in, and then, you know, when the 20 days are up or whatever, they have to come back out and put new flags in again, and nobody's happy about the situation. I can tell you that. I talked to Brightspeed last Friday. And they said they're trying to do better. They're trying to make it better. They're trying to make it more streamlined and that kind of stuff. There was a holdup. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there was a holdup of some sort crossing, I think, US 30. Is that right, Sean? And so things were kind of flagged, and then they saw no progress. Residents saw no progress. So then they had to get reflagged, and they're just So it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge. But I know they're trying to work through it. So.
The next challenge is putting our cans too close to the curb.
Yes, yes. And I think we talked about that at the last meeting. So.
That's, you know, who's going to be responsible when the snow hits that?
Yep.
And that's a different firm.
That's still Brightspeed.
Well, the people that are burying the fiber is not, they're representing Brightspeed, but Brightspeed is the company that will own that afterwards. So, yes, I you guys are saying the same thing but different ways.
Yeah.
It's a different company putting in the fiber than Brightspeed, but Brightspeed has hired them, and they're going to be on the hook for that stuff. Yeah.
Saying, I don't think it's up to, should not be our responsibility when those get taken out to rebury them.
Yeah. No, I agree. It should not be. So. Go ahead.
I had a resident ask me, Sean, how did they determine, do they just come in and automatically put fiber to the home if I want it or not, or if they, or they don't ask me, they just do it? I mean, is there kind of a process?
They put the backbone of the infrastructure in that will serve the entire community.
Right.
They put these boxes that you're talking about out by the road, are junction boxes basically, where they can feed from there to the home.
If as long as they stay in the right in the utility right away.
If you don't want it to your house, they won't take it to your house unless you ask for it.
So they'll
but
ask.
Still, yes, they're still going to be feeding by your house,
right,
through your easement.
But it won't be going into your private property onto into your house.
That was a big question.
Yes.
It shouldn't be on your private property unless you ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
thank you.
There's a lot of distinction there between private and, yeah, and easement, because there's easements people don't know about. There's prescriptive easements, things like that, too. But,
it's a challenge.
And the box, some of the boxes you're talking about are actually served. Boxes,
yeah,
are a lot closer to the road.
The tall boxes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Dan.
Yeah, before we say Mike mentioned met last night, and TMJ's moving along not like we wanted, but they presented us an option, and I don't think we have much option.
Who?
But
I'm sorry.
County Plan Commission.
The ETJ.
Yeah.
The ETJ. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Extraterritorial jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Now I'm with you.
Yeah,
okay.
I can call it something.
That's okay.
They were submitted back for an idea, so we'll see what they say. It's like they presented us the idea instead of us telling them on the power whole thing.
Yeah.
But at least there's something moving along the southern half part of the city.
Where the school property
where the
school is, where we've hit our boundary.
So there is a movement on that.
Yeah.
We also approved the Mission 25 building. That's a really big deal. That's really pretty cool. And then Moore Farm Store approved. We approved a building for just south of our solar panels. They're putting in a storage building there.
Okay.
So, other than that, everything was kind of positive about what was going on last night. So.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Ted.
excuse me. Redevelopment met today. They did our last testing, environmental testing, at the Cardinal Grain property on South Line Street, and everything looks good.
That's
tested the water, everything looks good. So we're just waiting for a final approval so we can go ahead and move that property to the next phase of selling it and developing it. How many years has it been? 6 years? Seven? At least six that I've been.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been
luckily, all the testing and the redevelopment of that property has not been on the backs of the taxpayer. It has been paid for by insurance proceeds from the previous insurance carriers of that property. So that's a really important distinction. Yeah.
So that's just about wrapped up, and we have a letter of understanding with a possible developer for the property on the southwest corner of Line Street. So
Line and Jackson.
Line
right.
and Jackson.
Yeah. Yep.
So
great.
That's it.
Thank you. Jenny?
I have nothing.
Okay, audience. Anybody want to come up and speak? I need a name and an address, please. Anybody? Melanie?
Melanie Love, 113 East Market Street. I just wanted to let you guys know, and anyone watching or listening or whatever, I have started a petition on change.org to try to give you guys a better idea of how many supporters we really have. Because honestly, we can't really accomplish anything with a petition, but it just gives
Melanie, I do have a question for you. This is something that is being discussed around the whole state, cities, towns, et cetera. And so I guess my question is so when I go to Tractor Supply and there is a chick sale and there's chicks there to buy, right? My question is, and this is something I've not been able to really ascertain the answer to, is when I go buy a chick, do I know, can I find out, is there a way to find out if it is a male chicken or a female chicken? You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things I guess I'm kind of wondering is so if we say, and again, we're just talking theoretical, right? But if we say we don't allow chickens in the city, or we don't allow roosters in the city, but we do allow hens, is there a way to determine the sex of the chicken when it's, is there a certain, like, time frame, or I don't know enough. Okay.
As someone who's never owned chickens.
Sure.
But my understanding is you can tell with pretty good, there's different types of chicks that you can purchase.
Yeah.
And basically, you can usually tell pretty well.
Okay.
Everyone's in great well.
Yeah.
Rooster will slip in, and you're like, whoops, like, surprise rooster.
Sure.
If you're hatching your own, then you're
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. It's just out of curiosity, because I saw that was a question that popped up in our listserv among cities and towns and that kind of stuff, and just trying to understand how that would be something, you know, if an ordinance was drafted and how that would work, you know, how we would handle those kind of situations and stuff. So just, again, out of curiosity, just because of you researching and stuff.
If we did something like that,
yeah,
so that we could not have roosters, it would also be similar to people who have had a chicken for a little while. They do stop laying. What do you do with the chicken? So, we could try to set up some resources, some people who live out of town and would happily take your chickens or roosters or, you know, accidental rooster and go to this list of phone numbers.
I like that term, accidental rooster.
And they may be interested in taking your accidental rooster or your hen that's not laying so much anymore, but they don't want to. More chicken, and
yeah.
Have
40, then. Gotcha. Okay. Thanks. I just, again, out of curiosity, because it popped up in the listserv. So, great. Thank you, Melanie. Anybody else like to speak? Come on up. I need a name and address, please.
Russell Reardon. 102 North Maple Street, North Manchester, Indiana.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of Jesus Escudero, that lives at 215 and a half West Van Buren Street, apartment 6.
Okay.
So he's right here in town. Uh-huh. Opened a new business.
Okay.
And I noticed that the council has supported a resolution for driving privileges, which is wonderful. I think Ligonier has done that. Mm-hmm. And North Manchester has asked the state. My question, is it possible that there could be driving privileges within the city of Columbia so that he could get back and forth to work? He's got a new business he's opened up on Hoosier Street. He's trying to take care of his dad. He's got three minor kids that he'd like to transport.
Need to go from place to place? Sure.
So,
sure.
Is that a possibility within city limits to have a driving privileges card?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'm going to defer to our legal counsel to do some checking on that, because I'm not sure. Because as of right now, I don't believe the state allows driving cards for individuals, which is why, you know, the council in majority, no offense, Dan, voted in support of a resolution to support a piece of legislation at the state. Now, with that being said, I don't know. My guess is the answer is probably no, because I don't think the state allows it. But it's definitely something that we could, if the council would like, can have our city attorney look at and look at that. So
that would be great.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm happy. I don't know if I don't know if you've seen the resolution that we passed, but I'd be happy to. You do have it. Okay, good. Okay, because I think one of the things that this council was pretty strong about, just to be very candid with you, is obviously the goal of becoming a citizen, right, in the long
yes.
run.
Right.
But I think for the driver card purposes, I think that's something that Marcia can do some research on and bring it back to the council as an opportunity. Or, you know, it's up to the council to decide, but yeah.
I would agree. I think there's a really good chance I won't come back with a good result, but it won't be, that's out of our hands. Whatever I find will be out of our hands.
Yeah. Do you have a piece of contact, or do you have a contact that we can?
Yes.
Okay.
Get that with
okay. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, if you can stay just for a second after the council meeting, because we're almost done, and then we'll make sure we get all the information.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, and maybe I can talk with her about what I've learned from immigration attorneys.
Sure.
Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
That would be fantastic.
He's in the process of citizenship.
Yep.
It's about a 10-year process.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you,
sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Excuse me. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Gary.
There's the Whitley Transit that could probably help him get back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
The temporary can obtain an ID. He could probably get ride a moped. I mean, those are
golf cart.
No ID. Passport.
Well,
you have to have a license for golf cart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is let's powwow afterwards, because I think that may be a really good opportunity to have that conversation. Again, I think there's yeah, we'll chat afterwards. Everyone else? Yeah, Melanie.
I just had a quick, on that note, I forgot. A friend of mine had an idea. Would it be possible, in considering the driver permission card, for that to somehow help someone toward the path of citizenship? Maybe once you've held that card for some time, you're proving that you're doing the work, you're doing the education, you're paying all those fees, you're having car insurance. That's demonstrating that you are committed to being a reasonable citizen. And maybe that should bump you up the line toward citizenship somehow. Is that a thing that we could maybe consider?
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly how, I'm not exactly sure how the state, through their legislation, would do that from a federal standpoint, but again, I keep coming back to, I think the goal of this council, and certainly what I'm hearing, is that individuals, and I don't want to speak for you all, so feel free to speak up, but I think the goal is to move people who are here then or non-citizens, to move them toward citizenship, right? And so anything that we can do to move them toward that process and create a safer environment for our residents to travel and all that kind of stuff, especially from the insurance side, which was really the main point of the driver's cards, is to move that direction. So I agree with you, Melanie, to say that I think it could be a step in that right direction. Again, it depends on how the legislation would be crafted, because ours is just a resolution, but yeah. So thank you for that. Anybody else like to speak? Hearing nothing else? Okay, then we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.